Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
This look back at 2017, the year in review, releasing here on New Year's Eve. And as we get into the first week of January, our podcast release dates are going to be a little weird. Normally, the shows drop for everybody on Tuesdays. The patrons get them on Sundays. But this week looks like the show is going to release closer to Thursday. We're going to talk about the arrogance of atheists, the charge that people who challenge or even question the existence of God do so from the position of ego. You know, you atheists are so arrogant. How arrogant it is to declare or presume or question that God does not or may not exist. We've all heard this, so we're going to talk about that. Coming up later on in the month of January, we're going to talk to Dr. Abby Hafer about her book called The Not-So-Intelligent Designer, which addresses all of these claims that we live in a fine-tuned world and universe. You know, it's finely tuned just for us. Well, she's got a bunch of specific examples of why that is complete crap. So you want to take notes for any of the discussions that you are involved in. And also in the month of January, I'm planning a broadcast about religious trauma syndrome. And I'm going to speak to the person who coined that particular term, plus your own stories of the trauma done to you or someone you know by religion or religious ideas and cultures. All that and more coming up as we kick off 2018. Right now, we kick off a look backward, the last 12 months summed up with some of the biggest, brightest, weirdest, and most compelling and entertaining stories of 2017. Huge thank you out to Susie Box. She has been sort of my chief organizer and researcher for the broadcast this year. As things have been so crazy busy, she helped to take a huge burden off my shoulders in putting many of these stories together and getting it all sort of situated. Susie, you are amazing. Thank you so much for being such a huge part of this broadcast and for lending your gifts to it. Greatly appreciate it. So here we go. A look back at 2017, the year in review. ...2017 saw the increasing normalization and legalization of marijuana. That's right, the finger lid, the jolly green, sweet Lucy, the love leaf, wacky weed, marijuana. We have a story like this, it seems, every single year. Well, perhaps it was inevitable that on the very first day of 2017, we saw the defacing of the famous Hollywood sign in California. To say Hollyweed, the vandal's name is Zachary Cole Fernandez. He turned himself in after his face showed up on security camera footage, and he figured he had no way out. So he turned himself in. Germany saw an Easter miracle in January of 2017. It happened on the 15th at the Germany-Netherlands border along the North Sea. Tens of thousands of plastic Easter eggs suddenly washed up on shore. Apparently, a Danish freighter was out at sea and it lost its Easter egg cargo. It just had tens and tens of thousands of these Easter eggs, these plastic eggs. Nasty storm hits. The cargo is lost. The mayor of the town of Langeoog allowed local kindergartners to go out and have an Easter egg hunt, an impromptu, on-the-spot Easter egg hunt. It was a clever way to encourage the enthusiasm of youth and also get the beaches cleaned up at the same time. Just a few days before that, on the 10th of January, there was a pagan guy. His name was Phelan Moonsong. I wonder if that's his birth name. You see, Mr. Moonsong, he never went anywhere without wearing his beloved and favorite pair of goat horns. He just wore them all the time. They were like attached to him. They attached to his head with fishing wire. He wore it like a skull cap. They were actual goat horns. They weren't made of plastic. He actually found them, I guess, off a dead goat. He was given them off a dead goat, and he wore them everywhere. And he wanted to wear them while getting his state-issued photo ID. Well, the DMV had a problem with that, and they said so, and so he protested. Well, he told the Department of Motor Vehicles they were part of his religious identity and culture. It's part of who I am, religiously and spiritually. And the state of Maine said, okay, because the horns did not obstruct his face and they wouldn't hinder law enforcement if they should ever need to identify him, they have allowed him. A priest of Pan, Mr. Moonsong, calls his goat horns a spiritual antenna. I'm reminded of that Pastafarian who got the pasta strainer approved for his head for his driver's license photo. I think that stuff's funny. January saw the inauguration of Agent Orange. Donald Trump inaugurated on the 20th of January. The ceremony attended by an estimated crowd of 600,000 minus 67 elected Democrats who they just decided to skip the proceedings altogether. Social media drew a big firestorm of photographs purported to reveal and contrast the crowd size. Remember these arguments? We're talking about the crowd size as what it was promoted to be, what it was as compared to Barack Obama, especially after Sean Spicer told a press conference that, quote, that was the largest audience to witness an inauguration, period. Well, we saw the photographs and we're like, hey, wait a minute. Meet the Press's Chuck Todd challenged White House counselor Kellyanne Conway about this falsehood, about this, you know, untruth. And she said, well, Spicer was simply giving alternative facts. Well, that caught on, and cue another social media firestorm. By the way, if you're curious, that number 600,000 estimated crowd size for Trump stands against the estimations for Barack Obama's first inauguration of 1,800,000. That's according to factcheck.org. Right on top of the inauguration was the January 21st Women's March. A historic march in Washington, over 670 independent women's marches taking place in other spots around the world, directly protesting Trump's attitudes toward women and the election of somebody that they warn is a bigot and a sexual predator. It's estimated over 4 million women, over 4 million marched in the United States alone. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, she called the march courageous. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand told Time magazine she thought the march was inspiring and transformational. It was a demonstration of strength and strong criticism against the newly elected president. In January, the march also harshly criticized for the involvement of one of its key organizers, a controversial Muslim activist, Linda Sarsour, who has promoted Sharia law. She has dismissed anti-Islam activist Ayaan Hirsi Ali, calling her, quote, not a real woman. She apparently gave a Twitter shout out to Assata Shakur, who's a convicted killer on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list, and who just a few weeks ago in the month of December was accused of covering up sex abuse allegations in her own Brooklyn office. She has become a lightning rod of controversy. January saw Trump's initial cabinet pick start to shape up. Unfortunately, the State Department saw an appointment from ExxonMobil Rex Tillerson. Treasury saw a pick from Goldman Sachs, Steven Mnuchin. Scott Pruitt, he's from my home state. Climate change denier, he was appointed to the Environmental Protection Agency. Ben Carson, former pediatric neurosurgeon, he was picked ahead. The HUD, Housing and Urban Development, has no experience doing that. Linda McMahon, she was a former chief executive for World Wrestling. The WWE, she was picked to head small business. Rick Perry, former Texas governor, the guy who used to pray for rain, encourages constituents to pray for rain during a statewide drought. The guy who once said that he believed the entire energy department should be abolished. He was picked in January to be energy secretary. Betsy DeVos, a devout evangelical Christian who private schooled her own children, she was selected to head up the Department of Education. It was just that kind of month. And I'll leave it to you to go and see which names and faces have moved across the board in the Trump administration over the past year. February 2017, be glad you were not Ashley Glaw. I hope I'm saying her name right. G-L-A-W-E. I'm going to go with Glaw. Lives in Portland, Oregon. Ashley's kind of a goth. You know, she's got that edgy kind of goth look about her. She's 17 years old. And on the first day of February, she was playing with her pet python. His name is Bart. Now, Ashley's got gauging of the ears. Have you seen that done? You know, it's not earrings, but they do the gauging where they put these increasingly large, what do you call them, studs or whatever, in the ears. Before you know it, you have big holes in your earlobe. Well, Bart is hanging out on Ashley's shoulder, and because apparently snakes like to go into holes, Bart went into the ear hole and got stuck. Photos were taken. The fire department was called, but even they couldn't get Bart the snake out of the ear hole. So Ashley Glaw ended up at the emergency room where they pulled out some slippery lube and then they slid the snake free. And I cannot believe that I just uttered that last sentence. February 12, 2017 saw the Library of Congress website offer up a Trump inauguration poster for sale to the public. It reads, "No dream is too big. No challenge is too great. Nothing we want for the future is beyond our reach." Inspirational words. Problem is, they misspelled the word "too" in the middle of the statement. No challenge is too great. Well, they only put one O in that word "too," and it took social media to discover and point it out. The poster withdrawn by the Library of Congress and then corrected. Valentine's Day of 2017 saw Burger King offer up a Happy Meal for adults. You get two Whoppers, two packs of French fries, two beers, and an adult toy, which, no, was not nearly as naughty as you think. But I guess a Valentine's date at Burger King, if that appealed to you, might have been a good idea. February saw the appearance of a hairy blob. It washed up on a beach in the Philippines, 20 feet long, over 4,000 pounds. It was massive. Looked like a long, shaggy, wet, nasty cat hairball, is what it looked like in the photograph. And people were screaming, "Is this a new species of creature that has emerged from the sea? Is this a discovery that humankind has never before seen? Some previously unknown hairy beast from the depths?" Nah, they think it was probably a sperm whale that died a few weeks before, and the quote-unquote hair that was all over it was apparently decomposed muscle fiber. Now, that's some weird science. I saw the photographs. I thought it looked like the Horta. Remember the Horta from that classic Star Trek episode? You know, he used to burrow through the caves. No, the pain, the Horta. Never mind. February of last year brought to the public eye the big North Korea missile tests. Various short and medium range ballistic missiles pretty much launched all over the place. One missile in February, two tested in March, three in April and May, continuing throughout the summer and fall months in response. President Trump warning Kim Jong-un, apparently off the cuff, that North Korea should stop its threatening behavior lest, quote, they be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. Those comments came from Trump this past August. Trump aide Sebastian Gorka compared the whole situation to the Cuban Missile Crisis, telling Fox News, quote, he's saying, "Don't test America and don't test Donald J. Trump. We are not just the superpower. We were a superpower. We are now a hyperpower. Nobody in the world, especially not North Korea, comes close to challenging our military capabilities." By the way, those of us who are terrified of insecure men who boast about the size of their missiles, well, for us, these are indeed very sobering times. March the 10th of 2017 saw arguably the year's biggest cameo appearance. Professor Robert Kelly was at his house. He was conducting a webcam interview with the BBC talking about South Korea, which was his area of expertise, when all of a sudden the door cracked open and his two young children ambled into the room. And then his poor panicked wife bounded in after the kids to scoop them up and to get them out. And while she was sort of still on the floor, there was a little child walker involved. She's reaching in. She closes the door. Everybody plays it with a straight face, but it was very odd. Now, this made international news. It was just so cute and so odd. And it was kind of charming in the way that it happened. A week later, the BBC brought Professor Kelly back in with his whole family. So as he was giving commentary, they actually had the wife and kids there on purpose. Webcam interviews are dicey. You know, I've done a bunch of them, and you just never know. Doorbells going off, phones ringing, my dogs. I mean, they're always barking or growling or sneezing or just running around the room. So I thought he did pretty well considering. March was the month that everybody was asking, what happened to Richard Simmons? The decades-long fitness guru is probably most famous for his video series, Sweatin' to the Oldies, but he's been around forever. He's done a ton of TV and is a household name pretty much since the late 70s. His legal name is actually Milton Simmons. And then all of a sudden in 2014, Richard Simmons just kind of vanished, just disappeared from all public appearances. He wasn't out. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't seen at his health club. No trace, no word. A guy named Dan Tepersky. Is it Tepersky? T-I-P-E-R-S-K-Y. He started a podcast in February of 2017. He called it Missing Richard Simmons. And the whole podcast was just like this investigative look at the disappearance of Richard Simmons. It became water cooler conversation for a ton of people. One theory out there was that Richard Simmons was being held hostage by his own housekeeper. I mean, it's just conspiracy central. Well, finally, the LAPD, the police, visited Richard Simmons' home in March of this last year just to make sure he was okay. And they confirmed that he was home and he was doing fine. And what he does on his own time is his business. He did an audio interview for Today in March of last year. He was in the hospital in April for severe indigestion. He posted about it on Facebook. The weird thing, and this prompted even more conspiracy theories, is that the photo that he put up was apparently a photo from as far back as 2013. It wasn't a current photo. So still, what's going on with Richard Simmons? The speculation and rumors continue. It is being called the toughest animal on Earth. And it was talked about in March of this year. It's the most die-hard creature in existence, according to many. The tiny aquatic creatures that look like a little sci-fi horror movie, as far as I'm concerned. Tardigrades, or water bears, as they are known in the colloquial sense. They can survive almost anything. They can be boiled, you can freeze them, they'll survive drought, drowning, radiation, starvation. They can go without water for a full decade. Surviving is only a desiccated shell, and then somehow they're able to revive themselves. They're being studied by scientists. Scientists want to unlock their secrets to help improve life for the rest of us somehow. Clever entrepreneurs have even made T-shirts for the tiny tardigrade. The shirts say, "Live tiny, die never." March saw the viral video that creeped almost all of us out. You may have seen it. You may have not known what it was, but you may have seen it. It's called Hi Stranger. Little claymation naked figure. This pale naked figure that's lying face down, chest down on the floor. And it's rubbing the floor seductively with one hand as it talks to you. Ask if you like trees and sunsets and tells you how much it enjoys talking to you. It's odd. But if you're into, you know, Zen music and clay ass cheeks, it's called Hi Stranger. It's out there. Just Google search it. Knock yourself out. A vehicle license plate controversy made international news in March of 2017. A guy named Lorne from Nova Scotia, well, he was all of a sudden told that his Canada license plate that had been passed down through his family for 25 years, his Canada license plate was being disallowed because they say it might be interpreted as being socially unacceptable. The license plate said, "Grab her." Now, before you jump to conclusions, Grabber is actually Lauren's legal last name. His name is Lorne Grabher. G-R-A-B-H-E-R. Grab her. Grabber? The license plate has been in his family for a quarter century. He says, "What's the deal? I'm proud of my family name." The local Department of Transportation said, "Look, there's no way for other drivers to know that your last name is Grabber, and they're going to take this the wrong way." You know, I'll bet that guy had a horrible time during junior high roll call. I just can't imagine what it's like growing up with that name. Well, the whole issue is still unresolved, and Lauren Graber will not know until sometime this year, probably, whether his license plate is going to be legal or disallowed. March the 30th of 2017, the press called it Brie-once. It was at the East Village Cheese and Wine Festival in London. The sculptor named David Bradley, he presented a 45-pound statue of a pregnant Beyoncé. And it took him about 28 hours to sculpt the thing. It took 5 large blocks of cheddar cheese. Yes, there are photos of Beyoncé. April of 2017 saw the big dust-up over the Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial. The ad shows Kendall Jenner, a white female, doing this outdoor photo shoot. All of a sudden, she notices a protest march out on the street. And the posters in the march say things like peace and love. It's not specifically defined, but this was done right on top of the Black Lives Matter movement protest, right? So in the commercials, Kendall Jenner decides to just jump into the demonstration. It's a general love fest among everybody, culminating in a shot where Kendall Jenner hands a police officer a Pepsi. And criticisms about the commercial just exploded, revolving around the claim that Pepsi was capitalizing on the Black Lives Matter movement following the police shootings of black victims, using a white supermodel and soda as the icons by which the world might all just get along. Well, Pepsi apologized and pulled the ad shortly afterward. April the 6th, Barbara and Douglas Fink of Edmonton, Alberta, they won the lottery. They won $6.1 million. Oh, yeah. This is the third time they've won the lottery. They've won it 3 times. They won $100,000 way back in 1989. They won another 100 G's in 2010, and then lightning struck for them the third time in 2017 with a cool $6.1 million. Same day, April 6th, as reported by CNN, an elderly Oregon man named Michael Elliott, he was lying on his deathbed. To give him comfort, his ex-wife and remaining friend, Teresa, gave him well, the best words of comfort that she could think of. She was trying to give him some peace in his final moments, and so she looked him in the eye and she lied. She told Michael that Trump had been impeached. Moments after that, Michael Elliott breathed his last and apparently died at peace. What a weird story. Janet Jackson filed for divorce in April of 2017. She'd been married 5 years to a guy named Wissan Almana, a Qatari businessman. Her payout from that split could be about $200 million. April 22nd saw the March for Science take place in 500 different rallies all around the world. The marches were in protest of what they see as attacks on science in today's government and in our overall culture. And they also wanted to celebrate and promote science in the hopes of inspiring others. April 24th, Chris Soules of TV's The Bachelor Season 19. That show's been on the air for 19 seasons. Chris Soules involved in a fatal car crash in Iowa. He fled the scene. He was arrested later that day. He had rear-ended a guy who was driving a John Deere tractor, a neighbor. Lawyers say that he did CPR on the victim on site. Police say that he left before they were finished processing the scene, so they gathered him up at his house, and he spent the night in jail. He wore an ankle monitor till November. According to Iowa court records, Chris Soules has had 14 other run-ins with the law in Iowa, and almost all of them have been vehicle-related. April saw the debut of Hulu's television version of Margaret Atwood's 1985 book, The Handmaid's Tale. This was a ratings smash and a cultural phenomenon. The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, starring Elizabeth Moss. By the way, if you haven't seen it, it is sobering and compelling and some of the best television ever. In the series, without giving anything really away, the U.S. government overthrown by this totalitarian Christian cult. It's just wrapped in religious language and patriarchy and the dark ritual. Season 2 is coming, by the way. Season 2 of The Handmaid's Tale, estimated to release sometime in the second quarter of 2018, maybe April or May. We'll be watching for that. An interesting story in May of 2017, as reported in National Geographic, where nature had turned the tables on man. Now, you've heard about these body farms. It's fascinating stuff. There's a whole book about it that I had read where they take people who've donated their body to science, and they have these huge fields. Some of it's flat, some of it's hilly or forested, different conditions, and they leave bodies out. They have them in different poses. They bury them in shallow depths or not at all, or cover them in leaves or put them near a tree or do whatever. They just have all of these situational things done, and then they watch them. They monitor the bodies to see how they decompose, and they use this information to help better process crime scenes when determining trauma to body, time of death, decomposition, all that stuff. Well, researchers at the Forensic Anthropology Research Facility in San Antonio, they put a field cam on some of these bodies out there looking for scavengers. Now, animal scavengers are not uncommon, right? These things are out in the field. But on camera, they managed to capture a little white-tailed deer that just sort of ambled up and helped itself to a little people jerky. Now, white-tailed deer are considered herbivores. So this is apparently the first time that scientists have seen a deer eating humans. Deer hunters, take note of this. You know, if they develop a taste for us, you know, you might be on your little hunting trip and somebody, a little Bambi, might just turn the tables on you, right? If you see a deer that's holding steak sauce and a six-pack of beer, you might be in trouble. I'm just saying. More serious news in the month of May. New Orleans workers took down the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. This was the fourth Confederate monument that the city had removed since late April. The takedown of various Confederate symbols fed into a protest on August the 11th by white nationalists in Charlottesville. They took to the streets, many of them carrying tiki torches, chanting blood and soil and you will not replace us. They clashed with counter-protesters. On the following day, a car plowed into a group of those counter-protesters, killing one woman, Heather Meyer, 32 years old. 19 others were injured. A 20-year-old man had plowed his car into the crowd. May saw the WannaCry cyber attack. A nasty computer worm with ransomware. Operations were disrupted all over the world. Over 200,000 computers in 150 different countries, car factories, hospitals, retail outlets, even schools. Economic damage measured at $4 billion. And here's the rub. There was a blog post by Microsoft President Brad Smith. He had blogged that this ransomware attack had actually utilized a hacking tool that was created by the NSA, the National Security Agency, which had been leaked the month before. Oh, the plot thickens. May 22nd, Manchester Arena. An Ariana Grande concert shattered by a terrorist attack. An Islamist terrorist detonated a homemade shrapnel bomb as people were leaving the venue after the show. 23 dead, including the terrorist. Over 500 people injured. In the aftermath of the worst, we saw many at their best, including residents and taxi services freely using their vehicles to transport stranded concert goers away from the scene. A nearby hotel was transformed into a shelter for displaced children until their moms and dads could find them. Homeowners and other hotels and churches and venues of all sizes opening their doors as shelter to victims during and after the chaos. And then on June the 4th, Ariana Grande went back to Manchester for a benefit concert and a defiant show of solidarity. The day was called One Love Manchester, broadcast around the world, raising millions for victims of the attack and their families. May 30th of 2017, that was the day the comedian Kathy Griffin posted that Twitter photo of herself holding up that bloody head of Donald Trump. Huge backlash ensued after that little stunt. An immediate apology from Kathy Griffin, and ultimately she posted a video in October on YouTube. It was called Kathy Griffin, One Hell of a Story, and she detailed the backlash. She claimed the whole stunt made her a target of the Justice Department, Interpol, and other governmental entities. Now, the interesting thing is she doesn't own the photo that was posted on Twitter with her in the effigy of Trump's head. That photo was taken by a guy named Tyler Shields, and he owns the rights to it. And he has been fielding offers by quote-unquote art collectors who want to buy the original. And apparently, he has been fielding offers approaching seven figures. Oh, my God. What? People are offering almost $1 million for the original? I mean, just think of all the suffering and starving people in the world we could help with that money. It's crazy. Speaking of Trump, again, May the 31st brought a whole new word into the social media lexicon, a typo that just took off. Covfefe. Apparently, Donald Trump trying to complain about negative press coverage, but instead of typing coverage, he tweeted about negative press covfefe. Well, I'll admit to you, I didn't find this nearly as interesting or as funny as a lot of people did, but this thing was milked for weeks and months and continues even today. Truthfully, the ones that have struck me were the other mistakes taken as a whole. I mean, just the long line of typos and grammatical errors. Just a few examples. Back in December of 2016, when Trump was trying to say that something was unprecedented, but he used unprecedented. Using the word like the word president. March 2017, he alleged Obama was working to tap his phones. He spelled tap with two P's. January 21st, right on top of the inauguration, he told Twitter users how honored he was to serve the United States. He spelled honored with two E's. Weird, weird mistakes for someone who once made this particular boast.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
June of 2017 saw some unusual characters running for prime minister in the UK general election. Theresa May, the incumbent, saw some odd challengers with her on the podium. Standing up there on the podium, there was Elmo, who procured three votes. There was Howling Laud Hope of the Monster Raving Loony Party. Howling Laud got 119 votes. And my favorite, getting 249 votes, went to Lord Buckethead. Now, Lord Buckethead is a self-described intergalactic space lord. He was dressed in all black and he had a black veil on his head. He looked like the Black Knight from Monty Python. You know, it's just a flesh wound, that guy. No danger of unseating Theresa May, but he got style points in my book. Lord Buckethead has also run in the past against Margaret Thatcher and John Major. You should see the photographs. Just Google Lord Buckethead and take a look at the pictures. They're hysterical. June saw Yahoo acquired by Verizon to the tune of $4.48 billion. Verizon says it plans to combine all of Yahoo's assets with the AOL, America Online assets, that it acquired back in 2015 into a subsidiary called Oath. Speaking of AOL, AOL Instant Messenger got shut down about 3 weeks ago. Just done, no longer exists, prompting the collective question, do people still use America Online? Like, do people still use AOL? Other digital media news, Google hit with a $2.7 billion fine this past June by the European Union for abuse of power and anti-competitive practices, as it apparently promoted its own shopping comparison service to the top of all the search results, pushing the competitors down on the list as Google's options remained up there at number one or near. Google said it rejects those charges, says that shopping preferences determine those listings, and it respectfully disagrees. The European Commission had been investigating Google since 2010, and in the past they have penalized other companies for what they call bad practices, including Microsoft, Apple, Intel, and Facebook. It was in June of this year that comedian Bill Cosby's court case ended. In a mistrial, the number of accusers of sexual assault stands at 60. And there is a new trial scheduled for the spring of this year. June saw the winner of the world's ugliest dog contest. Congratulations out to Martha. Martha is a 3-year-old, 125-pound Neapolitan Mastiff. Took the big prize. Now, I saw the photographs, and I just thought Martha was adorable. I didn't get ugly from these pictures, especially in comparison to most of the other dogs, many of which were Chinese Crested, which almost always went. But apparently she got bonus points for snoring and for the emissions that were coming out of the other end. Prize included a big flashy trophy, $1,500 to the owner, plus bragging rights to being the world's ugliest dog. Now, Martha's a rescue. Martha was nearly blind from neglect, rescued, and after some TLC and some surgery, Martha can now see again. So on several fronts, her story has a very happy ending. Still to come after a short break, we're going to talk about some awesome science breakthroughs. We have a story about personal flamethrowers. We have hurricanes. Mr. Wiener goes to prison. We have the world's most expensive white Jesus painting. Quick look at sports and entertainment through the year, the celebrities we lost in 2017, and some of the weirdest news stories from around the world. All that and more after this. Hang on. Don't forget that you can be a supporter of this broadcast on Patreon at patreon.com/Seth Andrews. You get a commercial-free version of the show and a bonus broadcast every single month just for you. patreon.com/Seth Andrews. We continue with our look back at 2017, the year in review. It was ice in July. An iceberg the size of the state of Delaware, called the Larsen C Ice Shelf, it broke free from Antarctica. This crack in the ice actually started back in the 1960s and was pretty small for decades until 2014. And all of a sudden, the crack just spread like wildfire, or wild ice, I guess. The iceberg's volume is twice that of Lake Erie. It is 2,200 square miles. The ice weighs 1 trillion tons. And now it's free and floating. It's going to drift along the coast of the Antarctic Peninsula before it heads northeast into the South Atlantic. Interestingly, it's not expected to affect sea levels. It's supposed to add 0.1 millimeter to the ocean. July the month that Vice President Mike Pence told NASA employees at the Kennedy Space Center that we're going to try to put humans on Mars as part of our future space explorations. Please do not let any of these expeditions include Matt Damon. Have you seen that great internet meme that's flying around where it estimates how much the planet has spent rescuing Matt Damon with all the characters he's played in films? We had to rescue him in Saving Private Ryan. We had to rescue him in Interstellar. And we had to rescue him again in The Martian. By the way, one lighthearted estimate, cost estimate by the Today Show, put the cash number of money spent to rescue Matt Damon at $900 billion. So don't send Matt, okay? Arizona Senator John McCain, diagnosed in July with aggressive brain cancer. John McCain, 81 years old. His cancer treatment is going into its sixth month. July saw the resignation of Sean Spicer, White House press secretary. And those of us who absolutely loved comedian Melissa McCarthy's impression of Spicer on Saturday Night Live were sorely saddened by the news. He was just so much good material. The White House also replaced Priebus with Kelly as chief of staff. July the 26th. Of this past year, Donald Trump declared a reversal of Obama policy and a new edict that transgender people would be banned from serving in the military in any capacity outright. Trump said the military couldn't afford, quote, the tremendous medical costs and disruption. He released a presidential memorandum in August that said all transgender service troops would be discharged. Lawsuits were filed, and to date, two federal judges have blocked this ban, saying that it likely violates equal protection provisions of the United States Constitution. July 20th, 2017, O.J. Simpson learned he was going to be granted parole. O.J. Simpson had served 9 years in prison after being involved in a 2007 armed robbery and kidnapping in Las Vegas. He was released in October of this year. In mid-2017, some vendors in China marketed a unique solution to sexual harassers: anti-pervert flamethrowers. That's what they call them, anti-pervert flamethrowers. They're about the size of a lightsaber handle, for lack of a better example. These flamethrowers vary in price from about $13 to about $40. Some have smaller flames. And the larger versions can thrust out a 20-foot burst of fire at 3,300 degrees. Holy shit. And this obviously has caused law enforcement some concern. The flamethrowers are being marketed as weapons that can, you know, leave a mark, perhaps even leave a scar, but are, quote, non-lethal. How is a 20-foot flame at 3,300 degrees not considered a potentially lethal weapon? I do not know. And then, of course, there's the question of potential malfunction. You know, this thing sitting in a pocket or in a purse, and all of a sudden it just explodes. The dangers of shipping these things by mail. Yet still, you can find many of these things listed online. Now, if you're looking for a less dangerous deterrent, I guess, Chinese vendors are also selling anti-pervert stockings. The stockings look like really, really, really hairy legs. Now, this, I guess, of course, assumes that your attacker doesn't have a fetish for hairy legs. It's just a weird story. Most frightening and frustrating of all is the fact that we actually have to have a conversation about warding off the approach of sexual harassers, a problem that goes far beyond anything found on a retail website. August was the month of Hurricane Harvey. Harvey made landfall August the 25th near Rockport, Texas, as a Category 4, 132-mile-an-hour winds, up to 61 inches of rain in some places. 82 people killed, countless displaced, billions in damage. One of the worst natural disasters in United States history. We had 8 total hurricanes this past year, one of the 10 most active hurricane years on record. Stolen from a refrigerated trailer in the town of Neustadt, Germany, over 20 tons of Nutella. August the 12th, probably overnight, a burglar with a big truck found a truck filled with Nutella, broke into it, transferred the goods, and absconded. By the way, Nutella is one of those foods that doesn't really seem like food, does it? I mean, it tastes good. I mean, I think it's pretty good. But for most of my life, I had no idea what Nutella was. Well, if you're curious, Nutella was actually kind of a byproduct of World War II, created in Italy in the 40s when cocoa was under a strict ration. So there was a baker in Piedmont. He used hazelnuts as a partial cocoa replacement. And he had some sugar and some palm oil, a little cocoa and some skimmed milk and soy. And voila, you apparently have something worth stealing. It was in August that the White House ousted Steve Bannon as chief strategist. He lasted a whopping 7 months in the Trump administration. There are rumblings out there, just rumors, but rumblings that Steve Bannon might be considering his own presidential run in the year 2020. August the 21st, 2017, people across the United States were using the word totality. Of course, we're talking about the historic solar eclipse, a total eclipse for those positioned in a 70-mile-wide path stretching across the country. The American Atheist National Convention was actually scheduled around the eclipse in Charleston. It's appropriate, I think, as you know, atheists are always blamed for meteorological events and for any kind of darkness. August saw FDA approval of a cancer treatment therapy. It is called, I'm going to take a crack at this, Novartis's Kymriah. It's designed to treat certain forms of leukemia in children. Apparently, it reprograms a cell to attack cancer within the body. The treatment's not cheap. It's a one-time therapy, but the price tag currently sits at almost $500,000. September of 2017, Hurricane Maria becomes the worst natural disaster on record in Dominica and Puerto Rico. The 10th most intense Atlantic hurricane on record, 547 people killed. Even that number said to be low. Puerto Rico looked like a nuke went off. Did you see the photographs? San Juan Mayor Carmen Cruz pled for better relief efforts. She said, "We need help," publicly criticizing the White House for dragging its feet. Donald Trump visited Puerto Rico, said a few awkward things, he tossed out some paper towels, and then he told Puerto Ricans what a strain that the whole disaster had put on our budget. A week later, Trump declared that we could not keep FEMA, the military, and the first responders in Puerto Rico forever. Mayor Cruz retorted, quote, "You are incapable of empathy and frankly simply cannot get the job done." Even now, Puerto Rico is still considered an emergency zone and in dire need of even more help. It was in September Prince William and Duchess Kate announced they were expecting, again, baby number 3 due in April of this year. September 7th, the consumer credit reporting agency Equifax had a devastating security breach. Equifax collects and aggregates information on over 800 million people and almost 90 million businesses worldwide. It's one of the three largest credit agencies. Well, hackers broke in, gained access to the personal information of as many as 143 million Americans. We're talking names, social security numbers, birthdays, addresses, some driver's license numbers. Some customers had their credit card numbers leaked. The breach actually occurred in May, and in July, it was discovered, July 29th, it was the worst security breach of its kind ever. September the 12th saw the release of Hillary Clinton's book called What Happened, chronicling her presidential run and loss. And as of last month, the hardcover has sold just under 450,000 copies. Reviews of the book have been mixed. September 15th was a sad yet glorious day for NASA. The Saturn probe Cassini was destructed remotely after 13 years of service. Cassini brought us breathtaking and detailed images from and around Saturn. If you have not seen these images, there's a particularly moving shot with the tiny dot of Earth in the background. It really does give perspective. NASA decided it was going to self-destruct because the probe had discovered oceans below the surfaces of two of Saturn's moons. Now, oceans might mean life forms, and they didn't want any of the remaining fuel propellant contaminant to potentially harm what might be there. So rather than crash the probe, it decided to just pull the plug and destruct in space. NASA has a whole website chronicling Cassini's timeline, the spacecraft, the mission, the people behind it. It is definitely worth a look. In September, Facebook announced it was going to turn over to Congress copies of more than 3,000 politically themed ads that were bought through Russian accounts during the 2016 presidential campaign. Facebook, feeling the pressure from Democratic lawmakers looking into claims that Russia was using social media to manipulate the election. Mark Zuckerberg also said Facebook was going to work to improve its review of political ads and increase transparency about just who is buying them. On September 25th, former Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner was sentenced to 21 months in federal prison for sexting with a minor. He was also required to register as a sex offender. The girl was 15. Now, you should see the 2016 documentary about this man. It's called simply Weiner. It chronicles this man's campaign for New York mayor, and it reveals a guy who was constantly self-destructing by exchanging sexual material with social media and texting, humiliating his wife and his campaign staff, self-destruction of Shakespearean proportions. And it's a train wreck that you just can't not watch. See if you can find it on Netflix. It is called Weiner, okay? The first day of October, 2017, the three-day Route 91 Harvest Country Music Festival in Las Vegas. Just after 10 o'clock in the evening, a gunman fired an AK-47 through a 32nd-story window of the Mandalay Bay Hotel into a crowd of about 25,000. 10 minutes of just sheer chaos, 58 dead, over 500 injured. The worst mass shooting in U.S. history, the killer took his own life after firing over 1,100 rounds. Police found in the hotel room an arsenal of 23 guns, various calibers, more guns, ammo, and explosives for bombs found at his house. Records indicate the firearms were purchased legally over a period of years. The shooter was a former real estate auditor and a real estate salesman. He was also a high-stakes gambler. Conspiracy theories around the shooting spread like wildfire. ISIS actually claimed the killer was one of theirs. He was not. Police believe he acted alone. They found no criminal history or indicators of violent behavior. His only cross with law enforcement in the past was a traffic citation years ago. It's estimated there are 33,000 plus annual gun deaths in the United States. Two-thirds of those are suicide. October saw the explosion of the MeToo hashtag. On the heels of the sexual harassment and assault charges made against movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, actress Alyssa Milano asked on Twitter, "If you have been sexually harassed or assaulted, write Me Too as a reply to this tweet." The Me Too movement actually started a decade ago by an activist named Tarana Burke. Time magazine named as its person of the year the silence breakers, those whose public statements and stories brought the prevalence of sexual harassment into the national consciousness. Also named by accusers this year, journalist Charlie Rose, comedian actor Louis C.K., Senator Al Franken, Today anchor Matt Lauer. Former President George H.W. Bush admitted to patting and grabbing women's behinds. Alabama State Senate candidate Roy Moore was accused of pursuing underage girls when he was in his 30s. It was a point rationalized by some evangelicals who invoked Joseph and the Virgin Mary, you know, because the Virgin Mary was a young teen. Roy Moore lost that election to Doug Jones, by the way, which prompted high praise to Alabamans for not electing a child predator. There were many others prompting personal and professional fallout and a slew of apologies, some more emphatic than others. Actor Kevin Spacey was accused of sexual misconduct against minors starting back in the 80s. He was dropped from the show House of Cards and replaced by Christopher Plummer in the film All the Money in the World. Kevin Spacey's apology included a statement that he was gay, which seemed a strange detail to include in the face of these charges. Many said that Kevin Spacey was simply trying to change the subject. On November 1st, Kevin Spacey said that he was going to seek evaluation and treatment, his words. In October of 2017, Donald Trump declared the opioid crisis a public health emergency. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says 140 people die every day from opioid overdose. No specific plan or strategy has been announced. Hail to science! October 26, Andrew Mayus, previously paralyzed with a spinal cord injury after a terrible motorcycle accident. Andrew was able to stand up and move his own legs without external electrical stimulation. He did it on his own. It was part of a clinical trial of something called spinal cord epidural stimulation. A small device sends electrical signals to motor neurons. Three other participants in the study also had success. This is the beginning of Andrew's journey, but this may also change how medicine approaches spinal cord injuries in the years to come. November 5th. The First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas. During Sunday morning church service, a 26-year-old man wearing all black and a ballistics vest walked in and opened fire with a military-style rifle. 26 people were killed, 20 others injured. The town is just east of San Antonio, Texas. Population is about 350. The gunman killed while escaping the scene. He used an AR-15 semi-automatic. Now, you can pick those up legally in this country for anywhere from $600 to $2,500. The first Tuesday in November saw the midterm elections, huge gains for Democrats, and some historic wins. Andrea Jenkins became the first openly transgender woman of color elected to city council in Minneapolis. New Jersey elected Sheila Oliver. She's the first female African-American lieutenant governor ever. The Virginia House of Delegates previously had 17 women. It now has 30 women. And Seattle elected its first lesbian mayor, Jenny Durkin. It is one of the seven wonders of the world. The 4,500-year-old tomb for the Egyptian pharaoh Khufu. It is the Great Pyramid of Giza. And thanks to some awesome technology, particle physics instruments usually reserved for space research, we have been able to, in a manner of speaking, look through the thick stone walls of the pyramid to see a previously unknown void within. Could be rooms or corridors, it could be something else. Researchers could only get a rough estimate of the hollow chamber, but as the technology improves, so will our information. Now, this technology could be used to examine other hard-to-reach archaeological sites in jungles and on mountainsides. It's a pretty amazing time to be alive. In November, Science News reported that half of the adults in the U.S. were at risk for high blood pressure, thanks to new definitions for what exactly constitutes high blood pressure. 130 over 80 replaced 140 over 90, according to the American Heart Association. By that measuring stick, my friends, 72 million Americans have high blood pressure. So go get yours checked, okay? The top-selling album of 2017 was released in November. Taylor Swift's Reputation sold over 1 million copies in the first 4 days. November 16th, Christie's auction put up for bid Salvator Mundi, or Savior of the World, a painting by Leonardo da Vinci himself depicting Jesus Christ. The painting is dated around 1500 CE. They started bidding at $100 million. Bidding went on for 20 minutes. The unidentified winner of the auction, who was bidding by phone, ultimately paid, get this, $450 million. Now, I understand the value of owning an original, an authentic Leonardo da Vinci painting, but $450 million, and if you've seen the picture, I think it looks like the Virgin Mary mixed with Weird Al Yankovic. That's what I think the picture looks like. Finally, for November, we all got really excited about Mad Mike Hughes. This guy was going to launch his own homemade rocket into the sky because he wanted to prove to the rest of us that the Earth is flat. He was shut down by the Bureau of Land Management because he wanted to launch his little rocket from public property. He was going to launch on the 25th of November over the Mojave Desert in California. His goal was to hit 1,800 feet. Now, why this guy did not buy an economy airline ticket and just look out the window of a plane, I don't know. Was it just publicity? Was it insanity? Your guess is as good as mine. Now, he may yet launch, so we'll continue to watch for Mad Mike and his homemade rocket ship. December, the final month of 2017. As we speak, historic protests happening in Iran. Iranians began protesting on Thursday, rallying against high prices, gasoline prices, food prices, overall economic woes caused by Iran's foreign policy, the sanctions that have hit the common people in the pockets, also religious oppression. Groups, bands, pockets, and large crowds of demonstrators facing off against riot police in the streets, burning images of the Ayatollah, women taking off their hijabs and waving them in the air as protest against them. As of the time of the release of this show, at least 2 people have been killed in the demonstrations. A surgeon in Britain, Simon Brommel, pled guilty to branding his own initials on the livers of 2 of his patients. He used something called an argon beam coagulator, those little things that stop the bleeding, those little burner things. I guess he literally branded his initials on the livers of these patients, was found out. Sentencing for him scheduled in 12 days. December saw the dramatic ups and downs of Bitcoin. Financial advisor Phil Ferguson from The Phil Ferguson Show and I did a broadcast about Bitcoin just last week. Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency. It's the first decentralized digital currency. Its defenders saying that it's the future. Its critics saying that this whole thing is unsustainable. I will leave the rest of that discussion to you. December saw another human foot wash up on a beach in British Columbia. That makes 13 human feet have washed up on this beach over the past 10 years. This foot still in the shoe, as the previous feet were all eventually identified and linked to their owners. Investigators are now working on foot number 13, and weirdly, the coroner's office said they don't think these cases or the feet are in any way connected. It's a weird story. In December, the FDA approved a form of gene therapy that targets a rare form of inherited blindness. Very cool stuff. Spark Therapeutics' Luxturna is the first ever gene therapy of its kind. The downside is the price tag. It's expected to cost $1 million. December saw Donald Trump sign his new tax bill, lowering individual rates through 2025, massive tax cuts for corporations, $4 billion allocated for missile defense. It eliminates the Obamacare mandate that you have health insurance or pay a penalty, which Trump said amounted to a repeal of Obamacare, despite the fact that Obamacare actually saw almost 9 million Americans sign up for coverage. In December, Trump also saw the Ninth Circuit Court rule against his third attempt at a travel ban targeted at specific Muslim-majority countries. December 22nd, the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launched into space from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. This was a mission to launch satellites into orbit. But apparently, most people in the area had no idea this launch was taking place and didn't know what the object was. 911 operators reported over 130 emergency calls from people reporting a UFO. London opened its first Selfiecino cafe in December. At the Tea Terrace on Oxford Street, you can take a selfie on your phone and you can text it to the barista. And you will soon, within minutes, get a cappuccino with froth of your own face. The cafe uses this little high-tech latte printer. It's a sign of the times, my friends. You can now drink your own face. And if that's not weird enough, I will be back with some of the weirdest news stories of 2017. Plus, we'll do a quick look at sports, entertainment news, the celebrities we lost, and a final wrap-up as we put 2017 to bed and get ready for the new year. Hang on. You are listening to 2017, the year in review. As always, I'm going to climax the show with some of the weirdest stories of the last 12 months. The top sports story of 2017 wasn't a game, but a gesture. NFL players and other athletes and icons across the country kneeling during the national anthem to draw attention to social injustices. Critics have called them disrespecters of the anthem, the flag, and their country. Supporters are celebrating this act of peaceful protest in the face of injustice. The Houston Astros won their very first World Series in 2017. They beat the Dodgers Game 7, a much-needed lift in the aftermath of Houston's Hurricane Harvey. Super Bowl 51, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots were way down, 3-28, and they mounted a historic comeback which sent the Atlanta Falcons packing, and the Patriots took home the Super Bowl ring. Russia banned outright from the upcoming Winter Olympics over a doping scheme 4 years ago. The 2018 Winter Olympics is going to start pretty quick. They kick off in South Korea on February the 9th. I love the Winter Olympics. They have curling. Oh, I just love it. In music news for the past year, the 59th annual Grammy Awards took place February the 12th. Big winners, Adele for Record, Album, and Song of the Year for Hello. Best New Artist was Chance the Rapper. Beyonce took Best Urban Contemporary Album. The Best Rock Album, Cage the Elephant, Tell Me I'm Pretty. Best Country Album went to Sturgill Simpson for A Sailor's Guide to Earth. Some weirdness at the 89th Academy Awards this past year, where presenters screwed up the Best Picture Award. This was awkward. Live television. It was actually the Oscar accountants that screwed up. PricewaterhouseCoopers has apologized. A wrong envelope was given at the last second. And La La Land was congratulated as Best Picture. Everybody applauds, the music plays, and then all of a sudden, producers of the show had to correct and say, no, sorry, it was not La La Land.
The film Moonlight is actually Best Picture. La La Land did win for Best Director, Best Actress to Emma Stone, Best Cinematography as well. Best Actor went to Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's younger brother, for Manchester by the Sea. Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. Supporting Actress to Viola Davis for Fences. And the Best Documentary went to O.J., Made in America, produced by ESPN. Which movies grossed the most this year? Number one on the list was Beauty and the Beast. The live-action film tops the list at over $500 million domestic, followed by Wonder Woman, Star Wars The Last Jedi, which is still making money, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and the Stephen King horror thriller, It. By the way, worldwide, Beauty and the Beast has totally cleaned up. It's made $1.26 billion. In television news at the Emmys, The Handmaid's Tale won Best Outstanding Drama Series. Well-deserved. Veep won for Best Comedy Series. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver won Outstanding Variety Talk Show. And quickly, the celebrities and icons that we lost in 2017. William Peter Blatty, author of the 1971 bestseller The Exorcist. He died at 89. The iconic Mary Tyler Moore passed away in January. She was 80. Actor John Hurt, 77, pancreatic cancer. Tillicum the Orca, the tragic main character of the CNN documentary Blackfish, died in January. Have you seen that film, Blackfish? I've seen it twice. And personally, I will never go to SeaWorld again. I'll never go. Classic Battlestar Galactica fans mourn the loss of Richard Hatch. He died February 7th, you know. Apollo from Battlestar Galactica, the original Apollo, he died at 71, cancer. Actor Bill Paxton had a stroke after heart surgery. He died February 26. He was 61. He'd been in Aliens and Twister, Edge of Tomorrow, and he directed a great little indie film called Frailty. We lost Judge Wapner of the People's Court February 26. He was 97. Legendary musician Chuck Berry passed away in March at 90. Strangely, Chuck Barris died just 3 days later. You know, not Chuck Berry, but Chuck Barris, the host of The Gong Show. He was 87. Comedian Don Rickles died in April at 90. Jay Giles of the Jay Giles Band was 71. Erin Moran, you know her as Joni from Happy Days. She died April 22nd. She had throat cancer. Jonathan Demme, the director of Silence of the Lambs. He died the 26th of April of esophageal cancer and heart disease. Powers Booth, the actor, May 14th, cardiac arrest. He was 68. His most famous role was arguably the TV movie where he depicted the cult leader Jim Jones. Roger Ailes, former president of Fox News, died in April at 77. Sir Roger Moore, James Bond, dead at 89. Greg Allman, of the Allman Brothers Band, he died of complications from liver cancer. He was 69. Adam West, of the classic Batman TV series, he died in June of this year. John G. Albertson, who directed Rocky and The Karate Kid, he died at 81. Actor Martin Landau, dead at 89. Playwright and actor Sam Shepard died of Lou Gehrig's disease in July. He was 73. Country singing legend Glenn Campbell succumbed to Alzheimer's in August at 81. Comedian, actor, and especially in his latter years, cranky man, Jerry Lewis. He passed away at the age of 91. Actor Harry Dean Stanton died in September at 91. We lost TV game show legend Monty Hall of Let's Make a Deal at 96. And Playboy's Hugh Hefner passed away the 27th of December at the ripe old age of 91. A few more rounding out the list, musician Tom Petty in October, cardiac arrest. He was 66. Comedian Ralphie May died at 45, heart attack. Music legend Fats Domino passed away at 90, October the 24th. Remember the old TV series Magnum P.I. with Tom Selleck? Well, John Hillerman played the cranky old sidekick. He passed away in November at 84. Musician Malcolm Young died of heart disease, 64. Musician-actor Della Reese at 86 in November. David Cassidy, best known from the Partridge Family, he had a host of health problems. He died at 67. And Gomer Pyle, Jim Nabors, passed away November 30th at 87 years of age. We finish our look back at the year 2017 with kind of a potpourri of cherry-picked weird news stories, some of the strangest headlines from the past 12 months. We'll start in the month of October. 28-year-old man, the guy who was never named, he was out enjoying a day of fishing off the south coast of England. He caught a 6-inch Dover sole. And he was pretty proud of himself, and he was joking around, and he held the fish up to his mouth, pretending to kiss the fish. As the story reported in the Telegraph, the fish then gave a mighty flop and sprang right into this guy's mouth. It wriggled backward and backward and backward and eventually wedged itself in his throat. His friends called emergency services. They attempted CPR. He could not breathe. Paramedics arrived 2 minutes later. By this time, the man had gone into cardiac arrest. They used forceps to grab the fish's tail, try to pull it out, but the barbs of the fish prevented it from coming out. 3 minutes without breathing. Finally, on the sixth try, the fish broke free. They pulled it out of his mouth. The fisherman revived in the ambulance. A quick visit to the hospital, and he has made a full recovery and now has one hell of a fish story. Narcotics officers in the United States were desperate to get their hands on a French drug dealer. His name is Gal Valerius. What a great name. Gal Valerius. But Gal Valerius was overseas. He was out of their reach. Gal Valerius has a big, big, proud, long, bright, red beard. Okay? He apparently considered it an award-winning beard. So, imagine the delight of U.S. drug enforcement agents when Gal decided he was going to enter and compete in the World Beard and Mustache Championships, which were taking place in the U.S. in Austin, Texas. Well, they got wind of his arrival. The drug officers met his plane in Atlanta. The man and his beard were hauled down to Miami to face charges, and his destiny as a champion remains unrealized. You know, we couldn't help but laugh when evangelical Texas Senator Ted Cruz made another unfortunate move in September of this year. His verified Twitter account, the Ted Cruz Twitter account, liked another tweet which had been posted by a hardcore porn site. Cruz called it a staffing issue. That leads you into an ocean of double entendres, by the way. Probably just an honest mistake by somebody managing the account. But Ted Cruz is just such an enjoyable target, many of us could not help ourselves. April of 2017, the Sarasota Open tennis tournament was taking place. Francis Tiafoe and Mitchell Krueger facing off in a singles match when they and the crowd found themselves distracted by a weird sound. A TV commentator speculated that maybe the sound was coming from somebody's cell phone. Well, it turns out the sound was coming from a nearby apartment complex. It was the sound of sex. Now, I have a short clip. I've raised the volume at the end and enhanced the EQ just a little bit so you might hear better what the tennis players and crowd were hearing that day.
Law 15.
Krueger has Tiafoe in a deficit situation.
Now, you tell me, you know, was it good love or a clever joke, a practical joke? We do not know. But at one point, Francis Tiafoe actually looked up and shouted, "It can't be that good." Business Insider reported that a man is suing Heineken because there were two geckos found in the bottom of his beer can. George Tuba said he bought beer from a Ralph's grocery in Fountain Valley, California, and he noticed that it tasted really bad. He reported a stomach ache and vomiting. He said his daughter went over and examined the can and inside found two dead geckos. The body's not decomposed. It looks like they may have crawled into the can before it was filled with beer and then they just drowned in the beer. Heineken said they've examined and explored and investigated. They think this whole story did not happen. But George is suing. He wants medical expenses, money for missed work, and other damages. So what do you think? You think there were lizards in the brew? Or is the whole thing just a big crock? Sorry, that is the absolute best joke I could come up with, and it's terrible. Somebody call the producers of Footloose, would you? Because ABC News reports there's actually a town that forbids dancing. Well, dancing within 500 feet of a church. Now, this is happening in my home state of Oklahoma. Little town called Henrietta, population 6,000. Residents were planning the 2017 Valentine's Day dance, but they planned that event too close to a local church. The Henrietta sheriff, he didn't care at all about this little morality ordinance. He wasn't going to enforce it, but he was overruled by the city attorney, and they had to cancel the Valentine's Day dance. Now, we did a whole broadcast a few years back about some of these ridiculous blue laws. You should look it up in archive. It is absolutely crazy. The burglar's name was Stuart Campbell, 42 years old. He considered himself a pro, a professional thief. He was caught. He pled guilty to 5 burglaries in Hampshire, England. Now, this would ordinarily be a garden variety local crime story, until you hear how this guy was caught. Stuart Campbell had been serving a previous prison sentence for the same stuff, burglary. He must not be very good at his job. 6 years in prison. When he was released, they fitted his ankle with a GPS tracker. Well, hours after his release, he committed 5 consecutive robberies with the GPS tracker attached to his ankle. And only after the robberies were done did he manage to get the thing off. Now, here's the best part of the story. As part of the terms of his release, Stuart Campbell had that GPS tracker attached to his leg voluntarily. He is back behind bars serving another sentence, where his location again will always be known. And finally, let us finish with a story relating to the recent Christmas holiday. Greg's Restaurants apparently didn't see a problem, didn't think Christians would have a problem, when their 2017 Advent calendar featured a nativity scene where they had replaced the baby Jesus with a sausage roll. A Jewish child depicted in non-kosher meat and a replacing of Jesus Christ with the delicious sacrilegious. This resulted in an apology from the restaurant and vouchers to anybody who wanted to return. Ironically, my friends, if you say the word Jesus backwards, it sounds like sausage. I know you're trying it. Jesus backwards, it sounds like sausage. Thank you so much for listening to this Year in Review broadcast. We'll wrap things up. Get ready for a happy, happy new year. I'll see you back here with our next show, Are Atheists Arrogant? That's coming up later on in the week, and then we're back on our Tuesday schedule for the rest of January. Have a wonderful and safe night tonight, and I'll see you next time. Take care.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.